Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Exactly dead center of the work week. I've already done the face plant right into the hump. You may have to walk over me on your way up to the top. The hump feels a little bit like Mount Everest. That's what it feels like this week.
It still feels like it's really far off. It's a cloud right now. Very small off in the distance, but keep moving, and eventually you'll get to the weekend. So it's our hump show to mark the middle of the work week.
Helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Show dead center of the work week right now, actually, though an atypical week for me, two in a row, kind of splitting up summer vacation between last week and a family wedding and a bunch of family time in the Houston area, getting out on Saturday night right before Hurricane Beryl barreled into the Houston coast and areas in that area, areas in that region, sorry, coastal areas in that region. Mom and her husband heard from neighbors that they did have the power back on late last night, but she and he and the dog, they had pulled their fifth wheel west to find a place to park and use the air condition and the fans and the trailer and also try to save the food they had in the fridge because they weren't sure how long it was going to be and the heat had returned. So last I knew, they were planning on driving home on Wednesday, making sure the house is okay, and then they're going to go back to where they're going to camp for a couple of days, but unfortunately not going to fly to Virginia like they intended for my brother's milestone birthday. So our family plans have changed significantly. Actually, going to go ahead and take the days off, even though I will still be in town until Friday. But yeah, just the way the producer's schedule is set up right now, because we're auditioning different in-house candidates, including Ryan. I like how our last caller said, congratulations. She's foreshadowing, maybe. She's congratulating you for getting the job.
She's congratulating me for staying alive.
What?
I'm not calling you aggressive.
Wow. Okay. The job may not be available to you anymore, Ryan. So anyway, with the different producer schedules, when I'm here in July, which, as I say, first couple of weeks are kind of atypical, they had different candidates in, but then when I'm not supposed to be hosting, it's younger guys and, well, younger as in inexperienced guys in the business who they just don't want to give them the wrong idea that they're candidates for the job, I guess. That's not really my area. That's not my department. That it goes to the managers, but that's how they set it up. So I'm going to go ahead and take the time off. I am working on a blog post that maybe I can finish on Thursday. It has to do with my Grammy, Helen, and 2 years since her passing away, but also how I honored her and my maternal grandmother at the wedding. And I haven't shared photos yet online, really, just the one that's my profile picture on both Twix and Facebook. For those of you who've seen it, I appreciate your kind words. But anyway, haven't really showed a lot of the wedding photos at all, just the one. And I've been kind of waiting for this occasion just because I honored them in a very significant way on wedding day. And to that end, want to finish up this blog post and also we'll share some photos. Many of you are still asking, and some of you are so persistent about, when are we going to see a picture of your husband? Well, the answer is still never, but I appreciate your interest. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, on our social, at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page, we're asking you the best and brightest athletes under the age of 24. And I will give you credit, a wide variety. I knew that I could count on you for just a diverse list of names, but also some names I'd not heard before tonight's show. Emmy Selman, part of USA Volleyball under 21, also U19, was the captain. They won a gold medal in world championships. Now going to play for the Ohio State University as a freshman, incoming, part of a great class. So neat to hear her name too. Carlos Alcaraz, who's into the semifinals of Wimbledon and is the defending champion there on the men's side. He's only 21 years old and he's already won 3 Grand Slam singles titles. It's way too early to determine whether or not he might be a candidate to pass Novak Djokovic, who's still alive himself and is trying to set the record, the all-time record, men or women, with 25 Grand Slam wins, but still has a few matches left to go. And, you know, he not only is vying for what would be a record 25th Grand Slam, but also he was on your list. A bunch of you submitted his name for cockiest, most arrogant athletes. So we went from cocky and arrogant to best and brightest under 24, which I, honestly, some of those might actually cross. Anthony Edwards is on both of those lists. So yeah, some fun show questions this week as we are into the dog days of summer. Next week, we'll be more consumed by All-Star break in Major League Baseball. So I'm looking forward to that. But just a great smorgasbord, veritable buffet this week. We've got some other great names too that actually will be featured in the All-Star game. So I'm going to continue making my list and you all can continue finding us on either of our social media sites, plus the phones 855-212-4227. This is a bit of a transition here, but I want to be a little more serious this next, this next segment, these next few minutes here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I would think that there are some people out there who would point to Ollie Gordon, who is the reigning Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. So that goes back to 23. We're talking football now. He was arrested under suspicion of DUI going back to late June. Okay, so it just happened a few days ago. He plays for Oklahoma State. And he was actually part of Big 12 Media Days on Tuesday. So I think this raised a lot of eyebrows because he is right now facing potential charges and a serious arrest in that he was driving under the influence, according to the authorities. He did issue a formal apology on Monday and then was sitting alongside head coach Mike Gundy at Big 12 Media Days. And while he didn't answer a lot of questions, by the way, Big 12 Media Days are taking place in Vegas, where everything else is taking place right now. My goodness. I saw some reporters just from my time in Oklahoma. I still have a lot of contacts who cover both Oklahoma State and OU. And I saw some reporters who were talking about how they might melt. This is coming from Oklahoma. the year that I left Oklahoma, they had 20 days in a row or something like that of triple digit heat. So yeah, they've got their own version of heat, but it's 120 in Vegas, pushing 120. Anyway, Big 12 media days included Ollie Gordon. And yeah, that was a surprise to some people who cover Oklahoma State football. Why is he there? Now, Mike Gundy stressed that this is part of him taking accountability for this poor decision. Okay, so according to Gundy, his star running back is on a shorter leash. That's the term that Gundy used moving forward. And that as part of this learning process to make better choices, first of all, he's 20. So driving under the influence shouldn't be happening because he's underage. I don't know if there'll be charges related to that or not, but if the authorities determine that they either smelled alcohol in his breath or that he did in fact drive over the legal limit, then there would likely be other charges there. But that Gundy wants him to be accountable by facing the music, essentially answering questions about the about what happened and why he did what he did. But if you were paying attention on Tuesday, or if you happen to be following social at all, what it turned into was a viral clip of Gundy himself seemingly admitting to driving under the influence of alcohol countless times in his own past. There's a lot of layers here, and you'll hear what Gundy had to say yourself. But this is surprising because, again, you're talking about a 20-year-old star running back who's making money at the college level playing football. And he gets behind the wheel where he's allegedly over the legal limit when it comes to blood alcohol level. His coach makes him show up at media days rather than hiding him, or rather than allowing him to hide in the wake of his arrest, forces him to show up there, answer questions. But instead of Ollie being the story, Mike Gundy turns into the story because of what he had to say. Now, he did address Gordon while he was sitting there. But really, what this turned into was mocking Mike Gundy and also just kind of a stunning reaction to what he had to say. I guess he decided that his own personal investigation about driving under the influence would somehow be a referendum on Ollie not being a bad kid. I'm still not really sure what his goal was, but if you know Mike Gundy, and I do actually personally know Mike Gundy, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but when I was there in Oklahoma covering the team, well, covering both OU and OSU, I mean, he was known for making waves, but he wasn't at the time an established head coach of Oklahoma State. They hadn't had the recent success or the success under him that they have now, or they have, which maybe gives him a little more freedom, or he thinks it gives him a little more freedom. Remember, he's the same guy that started yelling at a reporter, a female reporter named Jenny Carlson, going back a few years ago with the, "I'm a man, I'm 40. That was Mike Gundy. So he has had his run-ins with the media in the past, but this is something different. It's almost like he's trying to justify Ollie, or at the same time just point out that it wasn't as bad a decision as it was, or that it could have been a lot worse. I don't know. This to me is, it needs to be getting even more attention than it did on Tuesday.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life.
Ugh.
And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
Okay. You don't need to hear much more than that. I mean, Gundy did try to clarify later that he wasn't excusing what Gordon did. But I fail to understand in any way how admitting that you got behind a wheel thousands of times, I'm not making that up, thousands of times you've gotten behind the wheel when you were very likely legally drunk. I don't understand how that is helpful in any way, but also why? Why would you say that? If nothing else, it does come across as a justification of Ollie and his poor choice. It's almost like saying, well, it's easy to drink a few beers and not realize that you're legally over the limit, even if you feel just fine. I mean, that's the part that just angers me to no end. It's not just Mike Gundy doing his own research on the internet, because we always know how that works out. Nothing's ever incorrect on the web. But, and I want to listen to it again, Ryan, but as he says it, well, I've done that thousands of times and I was fine. 2, 3, 4 beers. Do you know how hard these leagues, pro leagues, and college conferences work to tell their athletes and their coaches, if you've been drinking, get a ride? In fact, every single pro league offers a service to its athletes should they feel the need to be out drinking. And of course, plenty of them do. And for some reason, they're faced with the prospect of either leaving their car or not finding a way home. They'll offer you a free ride. But even considering a couple of the stories that have come out of the football world, Henry Ruggs being a young, promising receiver for the Raiders a couple years ago, and I don't remember what his legal limit was, only that he was legally drunk and he gets behind the wheel and he kills someone else in a different car. This was a guy who went to Alabama. He won a national championship with Nick Saban. And he made the poorest choice of his life. Drives drunk. Speeds down a busy, crowded Las Vegas strip. Slams into the back of another vehicle. Kills a young woman and her dog when the car bursts into flames. Witnesses in the area, because it was a busy street. We're not talking about a dark street where he couldn't see anything. And I don't know, who knows? You don't make smart decisions when you're impaired, but we're talking about a busy street. If I remember correctly, he was going over 100 miles per hour. He had his girlfriend in the car. And so not only does he put his own life and hers in danger, but he slams into the back of another vehicle. And witnesses, I apologize for this. I know it's graphic and it's terrible. Witnesses recall hearing her scream as the car burst into flames, but they couldn't get to her in time. Henry Ruggs, if that's not a cautionary tale of how bad it can get when you drive under the influence, and he's just one example, but a recent example of a young man, a very young man. He's still only 25 years old. Not only is his career over, but his life as he knew it is over. And that's nothing compared to the fact that a family lost their young daughter, sister, He deserves what he gets. He deserves his time behind bars, and he deserves to lose his career because a young woman lost her life. A family lost their loved one. And you've got a coach in front of TV cameras and radio microphones who admits that he has driven legally drunk over the limit with 3-4 beers, and he was fine. In the wake of his star running back getting popped for DUI. At the very least, it's tone deaf. Talk about being unable to read the room. Again, I have no idea his goal in sharing that information. If I'm Mike Gundy, I'm ashamed. If I look up on my phone and I realize that likely thousands of times of using my air quotation, I got behind the wheel and I was essentially drunk. In the eyes of the state, in the eyes of the law, I was not supposed to be driving. I was impaired. But I somehow did it and got away with it. And that makes me lucky? No, it makes you an idiot. It makes the people around you fortunate that you didn't run into someone else, kill someone else, kill yourself. But again, I have no idea why you would say that. And it's not just that it's embarrassing to Mike Gundy and embarrassing to Oklahoma State. And again, I know he gets away with a lot. But there have got to be people who are considering whether or not he should lose his job over something like this. You are supposed to be a teacher and a mentor in many cases to young men. And what this sounds like is, oh, well, you know, Ollie, I can understand how this happened. You're lucky that it wasn't worse. You're lucky that you're going to get off without a whole lot of punishment. In fact, they're not suspending him. Mike Gundy goes on to say, tells ESPN that his punishment, quote unquote, will be maybe 50 carries in his first game of the season. So an extra workload. What? If I didn't know better, I'd think Mike Gundy was making fun of the whole thing. He should be ashamed of the decisions that he made. He should be humbled and grateful that he's not a Henry Ruggs. And this is just him evaluating that, oh, maybe I was close to the legal limit or over it, but I got behind the wheel and hey, I was great. I was fine. How does that help? How does that convince your football players, including Ollie Gordon, that this is not a line that you should be towing? It's not a line that you should walk right up to and then, oh, maybe I'll cross it because I'm fine. I feel fine. No, the idea when it comes to drinking and driving is you don't toe the line. You take a step back because you're not in a position to determine whether or not you're fine. That's the whole point. Is you're not the best judge of whether or not you're fine to get behind the wheel if you've had 3 or 4 beers and your blood alcohol level is over the legal limit. Drink all you want, Mike Gundy. But don't get behind the wheel and don't act like it's okay because you've done it thousands of times and nothing happened to you. Even if he goes back now, and I know he circled around and talked about how Ollie made a poor choice. But here you are trotting out your Doak Walker Award winner who's 20 years old and just got popped for driving under the influence and driving after drinking underage. And your response to it? What's gone viral? Again, it doesn't really matter what else you say when you are on the record as admitting that you've done this thousands of times. I wouldn't be surprised if people are calling for his job. Whether or not his students or his athletes ever knew it before now, they've heard him say it. You're supposed to be setting an example. You're supposed to be above reproach in this area. To whom much is given, much is required. And instead, you come across as telling your athlete that he just got lucky. I mean, I've done it thousands of times and I got lucky. I was okay. It almost comes across like he's saying the blood alcohol legal limit, it shouldn't matter as long as you feel okay. Man, I've defended him in the past, but this is indefensible. If for no other reason, then he should have just kept his trap shut. Even if it is the truth, even if you are fine and able to hold your liquor or able to manage yourself, it's a risk that's not worth taking. It's illegal too. And I just don't know how anybody can toe that line or would be willing to toe that line with so much that he has to lose, in this case, Ollie Gordon, but now Mike Gundy too. So yeah, maybe people would have pointed to Ollie Gordon as one of the best and brightest under the age of 24. And it is a blessing to him that the worst that happened was that he got arrested. His coach's response leaves a lot to be desired. On social, you can find us at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. I know it ran a little bit long. Phone number 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it's just fine. So I got lucky. Oh. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Unbelievable. I've heard it multiple times now and I still can't get over it. I really don't understand the goal of admitting that. Number one. Number two, if that's the truth, then Oklahoma State may have a decision to make. That's head coach Mike Gundy at Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas. And just as a side note, and I know this because of my time working there, I'm offended on behalf of Bob Berry's family. He was a longtime TV anchor in the Oklahoma City market. He died in 2015. Because he got hit by a drunk driver. I mean, he was an icon in Oklahoma. He was a mentor to me when I worked there. Bob Berry Jr., this is. Bob Berry Sr., also known to Oklahomans because he was the longtime voice of OU football and basketball. And I'm sure Mike Gundy knew him. You know, Bob Berry knew everybody. I mean, that was his job for years, was the sports director of Channel 4. In Oklahoma City. And I remember, I'll never forget, my phone blew up. I was moving on I think it was a July afternoon in 2015 and ended up getting the news by a bunch of friends who had seen it. And it turns out he'd been driving a scooter, maybe not a scooter, one of those motorbikes, and got hit by a drunk driver who was turning illegally and died. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ollie Gordon was there at Media Days 2, which I think also raised eyebrows. People wondering why, on the heels of his arrest for DUI, alleged DUI, he was there sitting in front of the cameras. But he explained why he was there.
Just being on the responsible side and the mature side of everything, you know, I didn't want my coach or my teammates, you know, to have to deal with any questions about me. You know, I feel like that would be leaving them high and dry whenever I can just be here myself in physical form and, you know, explain what's going on. Regardless of the situation, just keep your head high and keep pushing forward, you know. always look at things to learn from, or, you know, mistakes to never make again.
So he wanted to be there to answer the questions so his coach and his teammates weren't left to do the dirty work, essentially. And yet Mike Gundy steals the headlines from Ollie Gordon. You know, a promising career. And yes, of course, it's a blessing. He's blessed by the fact that there was not more damage done, an accident, hurting himself or someone else. And it doesn't sound like the school, at least not Mike Gundy, is planning to punish him at all with playing time or anything like that. A couple of you on the phones want to weigh in. 855-212-4227. Cliff is in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ooh. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for taking time. You know, I think Mike Gundy's comments are derelict at best. One of the things that we know are that kids make poor decisions and their ability to manage risk continues to develop through the 25th year. I think the leadership of Oklahoma State has got to do something because their primary responsibility is to create a safe environment to educate the young. And when you have an individual that makes reckless comments like that, that just puts fuel on the fire, and they won't have a choice.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they do anything, because Gundy's been there a long time, number one. Number two,
I remember.
He's made waves before with crazy stuff that he's done with, you know, just in front of cameras or with the media, and they've not hammered him. I mean, he's well-loved there in Stillwater. So I do hope that at least the university comes out and says something. Because, again, if nothing else, it's just a dumb thing to say. Thank you, Cliff, for your phone call. It's a dumb thing to say in front of microphones. But at worst, you're talking about a coach who's a leader of young men. And, yeah, you can say that what he was doing was talking about how this is ill-advised decision, and I'm not justifying it. But the fact that he has done it himself, don't tell me that there aren't other young men who hear that and think, all right, my coach is cool. Like, I can do it because my coach did it. Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff is powerful. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Let's talk to Richard, who's in Texas. Richard, welcome to After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
This is Richard. I don't know if you remember me. I called months ago, and I said I had been in a hospital, and I found you, and we talked about Ohsay Ohtani one night, and I called and wanted to tell you, I wanted to talk about Mr. Gundy, but also kind of give you an update where I'm at now.
Okay.
I have been out of the nursing home. My anniversary was July 1st, 4 months now.
Awesome.
I've been walking for 5 months, and I learned how to talk again 6 months ago. And 7 months ago, my family was told I was going to pass that evening. And they said I woke up the next day after they said I was going to pass 7 months ago, and I told them that God woke me up that day, and I have, since I woke up, I knew I was going to get out. I didn't know how, and they laughed at me. And today I'm here talking to you, ma'am.
Awesome. Way to go. Proud of you. Happy for you and your family.
I want to tell you what I told you that night, that sports is the one real thing that we have left, you know. And when I was in the hospital, can I tell you what sports did for me? Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
I know
you
we're
can.
Talking about Mr. Gundy, but may I tell you that? Is that okay, ma'am?
Yeah, I can give you a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to take your time.
You don't have to be sorry.
I laid in the bed. So I don't know how long before I woke up when I told them I was going to get out. And they said every day I told them I was going to leave. I had a TV in the room on the wall. I had a hospital room with one bed. and one window. And the blinds were usually closed, and I knew day or night by the light from the blinds. And this TV was always on, and I couldn't move, and I had to always watch what was on it. But one day I was able to pick up that remote, and I turned it to ESPN. And I didn't remember much, but I remembered sports. I remembered football. I couldn't remember what you called it, but I knew what it was. I remembered baseball. They showed games. And I remembered I saw people that I knew, like Mr. LeBron James. And I didn't know his name, but I remember I watched him when I was 15. I mean, when he was 15, excuse me, 16 on TV in high school. And I watched that TV, Miss Amy, and I saw famous people. And I'm like, I know that person. And I remember the man that always made me laugh so many years, Mr. Barkley. I love him. And I laughed one day in that bed, and I said, you know what? I knew out of all those things I watched on TV, even the news, that's the one, sports is the one real thing that you watch human beings play out life on a live stage. And there's no other thing in life outside of our everyday walk that's more real than what we see on that court, that gridiron, that grass, that dirt, that steel, that concrete.
Mm. It definitely that's does. Yeah, it definitely does have the power life to heal. Yeah,
it's. And I just wanted to tell you that it if you want to know another side of what sports can do for you, that's just wanted to tell you. And I'm sorry I took so long.
No, it's okay. It definitely, in many ways, sports have the power to heal, whether it's community, whether it's after natural disaster or man-made tragedy. It's amazing how sports give us hope and give us a reason to think about the future, and also just give us a reason to smile and be happy. So I can hear that it gave you some healing power as well, which is awesome. I'm glad to hear from you.
Well, and I thank you for using the God-given talent you give us every day. So God bless all of you, and have a good evening, man.
All right, you take care of yourself, Richard. Thanks so much for the update. It's good to hear from you in Texas. All right, so we got to get to a break because I'm running a little bit late, but appreciate your reaction to the Mike Gundy conversation. I do think it's one that Oklahoma State needs to have. We're also asking you best and brightest athletes under the age of 24. We've got a list going. Klay Thompson's not under the age of 24, but I got to continue rooting for him. We have a mutual admiration society, so you'll hear from him after his introduction by the Mavericks on Tuesday. Here's our latest sports update.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The left side goes to the corner. Here's Hendricks. He'll pick up and shoot it. It's a back rim miss. Tipped out. Your seven. Grabbed by Thompson. Klay, right sideline. Takes a 25-footer. Money! Cold, hard cash!
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, it's a mutual admiration society, which means regardless of what uniform Klay Thompson wears, I've got to cheer for him because he supports us. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and according to Klay, one of the best shows in America. I'm never giving that up. In fact, I immortalized it on social earlier on Tuesday evening. If you haven't heard it or if you want to play it, it's a short clip, obviously. It's on my Twitter, at A-Law Radio. And you will at some point find that on Facebook. I just didn't have an opportunity. Still figuring out how to do all that using my own account and not Jay's. Long story. Don't have time for it. So while we're asking you the best and brightest athletes under the age of 24, a bunch of you are weighing in with names, some of whom I'm not even that familiar with, but I do love the diversity we have on the list. We've also been hearing from some of the older dudes, if you will. NBA free agency has given Chris Paul a new opportunity. Seventh NBA franchise at 39 years old. DeMar DeRozan, 35 years old, who's moving on to the Sacramento Kings and believes that he'll have a chance to light the beam many times with them. And then talking about Klay Thompson and the fact that he left the Golden State Warriors after negotiations broke down. And of course, he was asked about that with his introduction on Tuesday in Dallas.
A new change of scenery can do wonders. And I'm very grateful for my time at Golden State. But I just felt like, you know, moving on could just re-energize me and do something special for the rest of my career.
We know that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry lament the fact that Klay is no longer a Warrior. The franchise plans to retire his number 11. He's not wearing number 11 in Dallas for obvious reasons. So here he is teaming up with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, which is kind of interesting. This is the NBA, though, and it's really pro sports. You can have a particular rivalry with an athlete, or in the case of Klay Thompson, the Warriors, he was primarily assigned to guard Kyrie Irving back when Kyrie was with the Cavaliers and they were facing off in those multiple NBA finals. Remember, it was Kyrie who hit the game-winning three in what was game 7 at Golden State to capture the 2016 NBA title for the Cavs. They were down 3-1. They rallied to come back. And so now he's in the same backcourt with Kyrie Irving, which I find fascinating. But he did say change of scenery for the Warriors, not going to denigrate the franchise with which he spent 13 seasons. But he believes, maybe more than the Warriors do, that he still has a lot left to give.
Still can't leave me open, and I can guard, and I'm just excited. I still think I can do what I've been able to do, and it's just about being in the best shape I can possibly be. But I know I can help this team, whether it's the knowledge I've gained or big scoring nights. I just still know I can be a very, very good player in this league.
It's interesting. A report came out from The Athletic and Anthony Slater that Klay asked Steph Curry not to petition the Warriors front office on his behalf. In other words, Steph, don't try to pressure them into re-signing me. But apparently Curry didn't listen. He tried anyway and really didn't want Klay to leave. And so this is an interview that Steph Curry did with The Athletic, and he admits that he did go to the front office. He did try to speak to owner Joe Lacob and company because he wanted to be able to keep Klay in the fold. Now, as for Klay, he smiled all the way through this introduction with the Mavericks. Does seem like he's maybe rediscovered his joy, but the proof will be when he gets on the court. By the way, he's going to wear number 31 because Reggie Miller was his idol. That was Reggie's number. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.